Member would like to call this meeting of the House and Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:34 p.m. on Tuesday, March 29, 2016. We're in the Butcherich Room, 205. Let the record show we have quorum to do business. Senate Committee members present are Vice Chair Bishop, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Stedman, Senator Egan, and myself, Chairman Michiki. And from House Transportation, we have Co-Chair Hughes, Rep. Nagyok, and Rep. Ortiz. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Also like to recognize our committee staff, Ann Krekelberg from Senate Records, and LAO staff Christie, and my staff, Lynn Smith. I'd like to remind everyone to please turn off your cell phone. The purpose of today's meeting is a presentation by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities on H.R. 2029, which is the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2016. That specifically address, well, we want them to specifically address the Alaska earmarks. So with us today, we have Mark Lucan, Commissioner of DOTPF, and Mark Vig.
Mike Vig,
Director of Program Development, who will be the presenter, and I also like to welcome Representative Clayman. Welcome. So, Mr. Vig, you introduce yourself for the record, or Commissioner, and feel free to begin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Lucan from the Department of Transportation Public Facilities. So we'd like to just start off real quick, again, reminding all Alaskans who makes up the Department of the Transportation. And today we want to focus on Miles Brooks, who is he's a research analyst, but really ultimately what Miles does is he collects, analyzes, and sends out data on all of the crashes that we have in the state. And what Miles does with that information is he collaborates with our department engineers to focus on projects that are specific to safety, and try to target the most bang for the buck, if you will, on those type of projects. And so it's very valuable. He also partners with the state troopers and our two major police departments, you know, so they can also use that data for their safety type of measures, you know, whether it's enforcement or other targeted programs. So, again, just another hugely talented and valuable member of our department, and he's got good taste because he names his kids after senators. And anyway, I'll turn it over to Mike Vigue, and we'll proceed.
Yeah, a low bar, Commissioner. And I just want to clarify for members of the House Transportation, if you have questions for the three of you, just raise your hand, and you're an equal participant here, so feel free. Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Vigue. I'm the Director of Program Development for DOT. And just to reiterate Miles' good taste, I just wanted to let everyone know that he's also a Boston Red Sox fan. So opening day is this Sunday. So what we'd like to do is a quick overview of what's going on with the language that Congress put in the Omnibus Appropriations Bill in December. Talk a little bit about the requirements that Federal Highway is put on the repurposing program, and then give you a heads up on what our strategy is going to be in order to use the money in the most efficient way. So Section 125 of the Omnibus Bill gave all the states authority to repurpose any earmark that was designated prior to September 30, 2005, which in essence is all the earmarks that the states have received, because Congress stopped putting earmarks after the Safety Lou Bill. So Safety Lou was passed earlier in 2005, so this will include all the Safety Lou earmarks, all appropriation bill earmarks that are still out there from previous years, and actually even a few earmarks from the previous authorizing bill T21.
Excuse me one second, just wanted to welcome Co-Chair Foster as well.
Okay, so in order for the earmarks to be eligible for repurposing, they have to meet one of two criteria. So they either have to have less than 10% of the total amount obligated on a project, or they have to have a project that's been closed and final vouchered in FHWA's accounting system. And we have a mix of both of these. There's two separate lists out there. I think you probably have the list in your packet. So the repurposed earmarks, another requirement they put on there was that they have to stay within 50 miles of the original designation. So there's a little bit of language in Federal Highway's guidance about how to calculate that 50 miles, but in essence, you know, a 50-mile radius around some point of the project, and the earmark has to be used within that circle. And all of the repurposed funding is eligible under what Section 133B of 23 United States Code, which is the Surface Transportation Program. The Surface Transportation Program is the most flexible type of federal aid funding that the department receives. And the last thing is that all of the repurposed earmarks have to be identified by the end of 2016, and we have the ability to use some of that money in federal fiscal year 2016. So on the requirements, so the state has to identify a specific amount for each project when we request the repurposing. So we have to tell Federal Highway how much money we want to put to a project, and we have to give it a specific project location and description. And once the funds are repurposed for that project, we don't have any ability to change that decision. So that's one of the reasons why we have some time. We want to make sure we make an informed and right decision, because we can't go back and change this once we've sent over our request to Federal Highway to repurpose these. So we get one shot at it. So the other piece of this is obligation authority. So similar to the way the state of Alaska works, where we have federal legislative authority that's put in the capital budget, Congress gives us obligation authority in appropriation bills. So when they did the earmarks, they provided obligation authority in several different ways, depending on whether the earmark was a House earmark or a Senate earmark. And in only a few cases did they give us 100% obligation authority. So in order to fully utilize the repurposed earmarks, we will have to use our formula obligation authority, which is what we get for our regular federal aid program that's tied to the funds that we've talked about in the past, like National Highway System funds and surface transportation funds. So some of the other requirements are, we have a short time frame for this. We have to have all of these funds that we repurpose obligated by the end of federal fiscal year 2019. So that's September 30th of 2019. Now, federal aid projects generally have a lot of requirements, and they take a fairly long lead time to get them all the way to the point of obligating construction. So this doesn't give us a whole lot of time to develop the project. So we're looking at projects that are, we're currently looking at projects that are in the STIP that are already under design or already ready for construction in order to fully utilize the funds.
Question for you. Within 50 miles of the original earmark designation, as the crow flies, we live in an interesting state, or is that a highway distance, or how is that determined?
It's a 50-mile radius.
Okay.
So a lot of these are out in the rural areas, and it just has to be a 50-mile circumference around. And there's a little bit of latitude as to where you pick the spot, but it has to be wherever the original scope was. So if you had a corridor, you could pick one end or the other. So we have two deadlines that we're looking at. If we want to use any of these funds in 2016, we have to get something to Federal Highway by the end of August of this year. And if we intend to use funds in 17, 18, or 19, they give us a couple extra weeks. We have to have them by the middle of September. So that doesn't really play into our strategy. I think our hope is that we can get this figured out and get something over to Federal Highway in August.
Do you need any help?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, we probably will need some help to figure this all out. There's quite a bit of moving pieces and quite a bit going on. So we will talk about that in a few minutes. So after the funds are repurposed, this is one of the things that's kind of an issue for us, is you have to do quarterly reporting. So I don't know how many of you remember back to the stimulus bill, but when Congress passed the stimulus bill and gave the state of Alaska a significant amount of money for what they called ERA, we had to do quarterly reporting on every project. So that same requirement has been put on the repurposed earmarks. So we have about 90 earmarks that we can repurpose. If we repurpose those to 90 different projects, we have to do quarterly reports to Federal Highway on 90 different projects. So that's a significant impact on our staff time. And so that's something that we're considering as we're looking at these funds, is there ways to package them? Because some of them are small amounts that are left over after a project's been closed out. So the idea would be the most efficient way to do it is to find a few projects that we can put these earmarks on, get a project done, and have less of a reporting burden on the department.
Questions? Yes?
Just to help put that 90 in context, what's the typical number of projects that you're managing in a year that you're reporting quarterly on?
We don't do any, through the chair, Co-Chair Hughes, we don't do any quarterly reporting at this point with Federal Highway on projects.
Senator Dunleavy.
What do you do when you are confronted with a project that doesn't fit the 50-mile radius? In other words, it calls for all of the it says Richardson Highway or it says Parks Highway. They're pretty long highways.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, we're looking into that right now. We've been talking to Federal Highway about getting some clarification on the guidance. I think there's, as long as we're within 50 miles of the corridor, is our impression right now, but we're going to get that clarified from Federal Highway.
Because, for example, you have one that also talks about the study of a pipeline corridor along the, basically the Parks Highway, so in a long highway.
Correct.
We'll help you out with that, too.
So our strategy moving forward, the history of the Safety Lou earmarks was the majority of those were deductive from our program. So what Congress did when they created the earmarks under Safety Lou is they went into the formula program, they took money off of the top, and then they did the earmarks, so the states received less formula funds. So what we saw when Safety Lou expired in 2009 was there was an increase in our formula money in 10 and 11 and 12 because there were extensions of Safety Lou, and the secretary determined that the earmark projects were sufficiently funded, and so that money went back into the formula program. So that's another reason why we're looking at projects that are currently in the STIP. You know, are there good candidates to move this money to? What we're trying to do right now is identify available obligation limitation that came with the earmarks and then see how that compares to how much we would have to use of our formula obligation limitation to fully obligate the funds. And we've done a quick rundown of that, and we think it's about somewhere between $20 and $25 million of formula funds, formula obligation limitation that we would have to use to fully obligate all of the earmark money, because it doesn't have full obligation limitation with it. So our plan is to finish working on our list of recommendations and present that to the commissioner and to the governor and then to you for review. And then what we're expecting to do is to send out communications, send letters, contact communities that have earmarks in their communities and share with them what we have found looking through the list and what's in the STIP and have some conversations with them. The dilemma is that we have a short time frame, so trying to do a brand new project that's not already underway poses a risk of not being able to fully obligate the funds, and like I said, at the end of 2019, if they're not obligated, they lapse. And so we don't want to be in a position where we have money that we can make flexible and then we lose it because we can't get the project to the point of obligation in the proper time frame. So there's, I'm not sure exactly what you've received in your packet, but there's a few of the FAQs that Federal Highway put out. Out on their website, there's a memo, there's a guidance document, and there's a list of frequently asked questions. Their attempt to try to answer some of these as this went out, so they didn't have so much follow-up. So do earmarks have to be repurposed? This is an option, it's not a requirement, so we don't have to repurpose all the earmarks. If we repurpose them and we don't get them obligated, they lapse in 2019. Now, I would offer a little bit of speculation and say that in the 2019 federal appropriations bill, if there are any unobligated balances of any earmarks, they will be swept and put back into the Highway Trust Fund. There's been several attempts over the years by various congressmen and senators to do that, and so I think this is Congress's giving us the ability to find homes for the projects that didn't move forward with the earmarks, and if we don't do that, all of this money will go away in 2019.
Co-Chair Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe I missed this, Mike, but you mentioned that there was a point, I think it was 2009, when the earmark wasn't available anymore and the formula funding went up. Did any of that formula funding get applied to projects that otherwise would have gotten the earmarks so that now those earmarks aren't needed because that project was done with formula funding?
Through the chair, Co-Chair Hughes, I don't believe so.
Thank you.
So the next question is, do all the earmark repurposing requests have to be submitted this fiscal year? And the answer to that is yes. We have to give Federal Highway our plan at the latest by September 12th of 2016. So that's good because that gives us some time to work through the details, get some clarifications from Federal Highway, take a look at the STIP, see what projects are viable, talk to the communities, talk to the governor, talk to you. We get one shot at doing this right, so I think we want to take our time and make sure that we make an informed decision. And so, our goal is to try to get our list to Federal Highway sometime in August. So that gives us a couple of months to work through the process and make sure that everybody has had an opportunity to comment on what's going on. How long are the funds and associated obligation authority available? As I said, that's through 2019. And so if you don't obligate it, they will lapse. That's in the bill. If an earmark is repurposed under this provision, can it be changed again? And the answer to that is no. There's only one small area where you could actually reuse the money that you repurposed, and that's if you put money on a project that actually comes in under budget and there's some leftover money, and you happen to identify another project in that same earmark, you could move the leftover funds to that other project, but you can't move them between earmarks once you've repurposed it. So they've put some pretty tight sideboards on it, and the idea is that we come up with a plan and present it to them, and then through the quarterly reporting, they're going to keep track of us to make sure that we're delivering what we said we were going to deliver, and we do it in a timely manner.
Question for you. Do you think the reason they set it up with those sideboards is that you sort of directed it almost to shovel-ready priorities instead of it being a funding grab for another project or a new project?
Chairman Michicki, I think that's exactly what they did. Is that they want the projects to be identified, they want to be able to track them, and they want to make sure the money gets spent. So if you go back in time and you look at the stimulus bill, shovel ready was one of the big terms. Everything had to be shovel ready. So, what they're trying to do here is, if you think about when some of this money was appropriated, some of it goes all the way back until the late 90s. And so the purchasing power of those dollars that were appropriated in 98, 99, 2000, or the safety lieu earmarks that were appropriated in 2005, 6, 7, 8, and 9, inflation has eaten away at that. So the idea of having a shovel-ready project that you can put the money on means it's immediately going to be put into the economy, and that's what they're looking for, I believe.
Questions? Senator Dunleavy?
Just along those lines, some of this money is really not for project shovel ready projects, solar-related projects, right? You've got some a multimedia amount of money in here for multimedia, a wideband project in the valley. You have some study money as well.
Okay. Are there questions? Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at your next page of handout, which maybe you're not ready to go to that. And if you're going to go to that and talk about that handout, the one that says Alaska DOT EF earmark repurpose, I can wait for that. But if you're not going to address that, then I do have a question.
Do you have questions first on the presentation, and then we can go right to your others if... Anyone else on the presentation so far? Okay.
Actually, I do.
Yes, Rep. Hughes.
Yeah, thank you. And it is related to the list, but since you mentioned the 50-mile radius, I'm noticing on the list that some of the projects are at the edge of land by water. So if you draw the 50-mile radius, a lot of that area is going to be out in the water where there wouldn't be a project. So will there be any effort to try to make some adjustment in the land area where the project could occur?
Through the chair, Co-Chair Hughes, we don't have that option. I mean, it's very clear in the language in the bill and in the guidance from Federal Highway that it's 50 miles, that there's not going to be an option to adjust that in any way.
So, Rep. Ortiz, do you want to restate your question?
So, looking at that document, then, let's talk about the first item on the list. It's like it might come from my district. Construct capital improvements in internal freight passenger facilities. It says unobligated balance in that project is $531,443. So, what you're telling, am I correct in saying that those are monies that are left over? And what we're talking about is how to reappropriate those monies to projects within a 50-mile radius. And you don't have right now a list of potential projects that you're thinking about, or you do have a list of potential projects that you're thinking about that would fit that qualification?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz. That project actually isn't sewered, but I can still answer your question. It's still a valid question. So the $531,000 is what's left over from a completed project. So it says earmarks with less than 10% obligated. So that one is the balance of the earmark, and it probably was not from a completed project. So what we are doing right now is we're trying to work through the process to identify projects that would meet the 50-mile boundary around Seward, since that project identifies Seward.
Can't blame you for trying, Representative.
So then I guess for clarification then, so in that particular case, with these potential projects already, sounds like they're already in the pipeline, you have some different examples of things that might work for that $531,443, or is it going to mean that you're going to communicate with local community officials, et cetera, to look for potential projects?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, it may mean both of those things. Like I said, we're in the process of going through the STIP, looking for projects that meet the criteria that Federal Highway put forth. And the idea would be that if there's more than one project, we would identify them and present some options. And if there's not a project, then that raises a different dilemma of trying to identify a new project that we could actually fully fund with that money and deliver it in the time frame necessary. So that's another one of the dilemmas that we have is a project like this, $531,000. If we were to identify a brand new project that's going to cost that Seward wants it's going to cost $3 million, then where's the other $2.5 million going to come from? And that's part of the puzzle that we have to solve. So we're in the process of doing that right now, is looking at all these earmarks, looking at what's in the STIP, and coming up with some options, and then we'll present them to both the governor and the legislature and then to the communities.
Other questions? Senator Egan?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This list that Linear Steps has passed out, is just the same as we receive our handout just by legislative district?
That's what it seems like to me.
Through the chair, Senator Regan. Yes, that's the case. So this is the attempt to put house districts to the project. Some of them are a little bit difficult to identify, but this is the best attempt to date. And then the color coding coordinates with the two different lists that are in the other spreadsheet. So the green ones are projects that have less than 10% obligated, and the red ones or the pink ones are the more than 10% obligated.
Senator Bishop?
Thank you, Commissioner. Thanks for coming here today. But as we're looking at this windfall here, is part of the matrix, and I know, I mean, that you're here today and you guys are thinking through this, and I know it's, you know, it's a lot to think about in a short order, and it appears you're going to try to do the best bang for the buck for the state, but is part of your thinking or matrix going to be maybe, because it looks like you have some ability to roll some of these funds into a project, let's say we got to, are you going to try to have one of your benchmarks be that you would try to direct money to a project that might yield some revenue over long term back to the state?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, I think the idea is certainly, I mean, that is a factor as we look even at the STIP. And so, again, that's why we're looking at projects that are already in the STIP, because we believe that those are beneficial to the economy of our state. And that's one of the reasons they end up on that list. So certainly that's part of why our strategy is to focus on those existing projects for some of this money.
Thank you.
But Chair Hughes.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly, the color coding. So if it's the yellowish green that's less than 10% obligated, that means it can be repurposed to another project. And if it's the red and it's greater than 10%, it cannot be repurposed? That's wrong?
Yeah,
let's clarify.
Through the chair, Co-Chair Hughes, all of these projects can be repurposed. All of these earmarks can be repurposed. So what you're looking at in these two spreadsheets are the same, just two variations, and this is the information that came directly from Federal Highway Administration. So there were two criterias for earmarks to be eligible to be repurposed. You had to have used less than 10% of the money, meaning in most circumstances that the project that it was earmarked to was not viable or ready to go, or if you obligated more than 10% of the money, you already completed a project and it has a closed final voucher at accounting in the accounting system.
Follow up.
Okay, so then the red ones are the ones that met the second half of what you just described? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other questions? Senator Bishop.
On the over 10% on this, I think it's the last, second to last page, I'm going off the, not the colored, the piece that's in my brochure. Any purpose eligible under Section 133B of Title 23? There's $40 million there.
It's Kinnickahn Bridge and the Gravina Island.
So through the chair, Senator Bishop, let me take a look at that. That's a demo ID. You're looking at demo ID AK074.
Mm-hmm.
So that is funding that I believe that's Gravina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that funding was from the Gravina earmark. So what happened with some of the earmarks was Congress did a technical corrections bill and they made money that was earmarked for the Gravina Bridge and the Kinnickahn Bridge flexible under a 2006 technical correction bill.
Thank you.
Senator Stedman.
Just a point of history, I think, maybe with the other bridge up north, but particularly with Gravina, that was an additional to the regular highway money. So none of the children outside of Ketchikan were starving when that bridge money was set aside.
Thanks for that clarification, Senator. Any other clarifying comments or questions? So what is your process and how can legislators engage in that process? Will you be reaching out to some of us, all of us?
excuse me. Chairman McKitchie, I think our plan right now is we're working through the list of earmarks, looking for candidate projects that are in the STIP, and we'll finish putting that spreadsheet together. And then my expectation would be that we would make that available for the commissioner and the governor to look at and the legislature to look at prior to us sending anything out to the communities. So hopefully I expect that we would have something within the next couple of weeks as a draft to look at.
Okay. Any other questions? The one thing that wasn't clear to me was the funding, which looks like about $30 million, was that a part of the discussion on the recent loan denial for the Kinnickarn Bridge?
Chairman Michicki, could you rephrase? I'm not sure exactly what you're...
The $30 million on this STIP list, or I'm sorry, on this earmark list, that looks like it's dedicated to the Kinnickarn Bridge, was that money added to what the state has available with the loan that was recently denied for now on the
TIFIA
loan?
So that $30 million is part of that project. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a known quantity of funding that's dedicated to that particular project. So I don't think it necessarily, I guess it does calculate in the TIFIA consideration, and it's still part of that, it's still in play, at least at this point.
So my concern is whether or not that can be encumbered and qualified under this program with the current stage of the bridge. Whether or not it goes forward, is there a way that it can be counted as being repurposed if we haven't gone further along on that project?
I think the thing to recognize again is that these all have the opportunity to be repurposed, but they don't have to be. But if regardless of what we choose to do, they have to be obligated by 2019. So I think that's an important point to consider.
So I think I'm looking for a definition of obligated. How would it formally become obligated?
Chairman Michicki, in order for the funding to be obligated, we would have to put a project agreement in place and send it over to Federal Highway for approval. It's basically a contract between state DOT and the Federal Highway Administration to commit the funding to a project.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
On your point, just to go a little bit deeper for me on the repurpose, is that 100% permitted? Would that be 100% permitted, meaning obligated by 2019? Could you obligate it but yet still be waiting on a few permits to come in?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, that depends on what phase of work you're obligating. So if you're obligating construction money, then yes, you'd have to have all your permits in place. You have to have a PS&E package, which is plan specifications and estimates. So you'd have to have an estimate done. You'd have to have right-of-way certified. You'd have to have utilities squared away and all your permitting in order to obligate the funds.
So could I rephrase that?
Certainly.
So let me go back to the front end of the project. So you have a project that you want to obligate to a project, but you're on the front end of the permitting. Could you still obligate the funds to the project? Meaning, I want to build a road to Donlin Creek from the Parks Highway. I'm just talking out loud. And it's typically 6 years for an EIS and for all the permitting and all the hurdles you got to jump through for FHWA, right? I mean, typically it's been about 6 years to do that. So let's say you identify a project in 2019, but you're not going to receive all your permits until 2025 or 2026. Could you theoretically obligate the money to that project, but not knowing if you're going to, you know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, you wouldn't be able to obligate the funds in construction, but it depends on how much money you had. So if you had $2 million available and that was, and you had a design estimate of $4 million, mm-hmm. then you, and you had the environmental document done, you could obligate the money for final design. So it depends on where you're at with the project and what phase you want to obligate the money into. So the typical stages where we obligate money in a federal aid project are we start the project and we obligate funds through environmental document. Once the environmental document is complete, then we can obligate funds for a right-of-way phase or for final design. And then once right-of-way and final design are complete, then we can obligate funds for construction. So to answer your question, it depends on the project and what phase, what stage of work the project is in on whether you could obligate X number of dollars to that project. But you can't go in, and I think this what might be what you're asking, is say you've got $1 million design effort, but you have $6 million. You can't obligate the $6 million ahead of time to hold it for the project later on.
Okay. Follow up?
Sure.
So we've got a moving target here on what's obligated and what's not obligated, and it's not a back and forth between you or I. I'm just trying to get it wrapped around my head. So if I had the EIS in my hand, does that change the picture on obligating the funds 100% to the project?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, not really, because you still have to have, if you want to obligate money for the construction phase, which is where most of the large sums are, you still have to have a whole PS&E package for Federal Highway to approve the obligation. So what you could do if you had your environmental document in hand, so you had a ROD signed, you could obligate right-of-way acquisition phase or final design phase. But you have to go in sequence. That's mm-hmm. the way Federal Highway views things, is through the process. And so you can't get ahead of yourself. They won't approve the project agreement without the right paperwork in place.
I don't see any other questions at the moment, but could obligated earmarked federal dollars be used as a federal match?
Chairman Michicki, no, it cannot.
That's too bad. Yes, Rep. Hughes.
Thank you. You mentioned the process and that you were going to be putting together a list, that you'd get it out to us and then it'd go to the communities. August is your target then to turn things in. So when might we expect to see that draft? And then when it goes out to the communities, is it going out for public comment at that point, or just explain a little bit more about the timeline between now and August?
Through the chair, Co-Chair Hughes, it doesn't have to go out for public comment if it's already in the STIP. So there's a bunch of moving pieces here that we're trying to put them all together to make the puzzle work. What we're doing is going out to the communities asking for their input, because some of these earmarks were asked for by the communities and not by DOT. So the idea is that we're going to come up with our best recommendation based on, you know, if we go back to the shovel-ready concept, what we have in the pipeline that's ready to go that we can use the funding on, and then present that to the various stakeholders, whether that's the governor, the legislature, the community where the earmark resides, and get some feedback.
And follow up? Sure. And so the list to us, when might we see that?
Well, through the chair, Co-Chair Hughes, I would hope that we would have something ready in a couple of weeks. I mean, we're working the process now. We still need to get some clarification from Federal Highway. We still need to go through our internal review and see what we have in the STIP and how that makes sense. So I would hope that we would have something ready to share in a couple of weeks.
So if I'm making a couple of assumptions. The money is useful on a lower dollar project where you can essentially fund the project with the repurposed earmark. It can't be used for a federal match and wouldn't save the state in general fund matching dollars on a larger project. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Any other further questions?
I just have a comment.
Representative Hughes.
I just kind of chuckled when I saw the amount for the bypass road in Nome at $11.11. So just thought I'd point that out.
Senator Egan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, pass on my congratulations to Mr. Brooks and his wife, Heather, for picking such an outstanding name for their three-year-old.
Certainly.
And also, when you, Mr. Chair, thank you. I want to thank you for allowing the House to, I was going to say this right after you, before you introduced your employee, Miles Brooks, I believe, in he works with crashes, and I was going to make a comment about thank you for allowing us to crash this transportation meeting, and I didn't say it, so I'm glad I didn't at that point, but we appreciate this was good information, and we thank you for accommodating us.
We're thrilled to have you here, Co-Chair Hughes, Co-Chair Foster, and House Transportation. If everyone has their questions answered, Mr. Begue, Director of Program Development, Commissioner Lucan, thanks for being here today. It's important information, and we'll look forward to watching as things develop. So with that, joint transportation is adjourned at 4:16 p.m.